You know, disruption. It's a word that aptly describes what has happened since the coronavirus pandemic exploded onto the world scene and into our lives earlier this year. And in many ways, it feels like things are at a standstill, and we wonder, when is life going to get back to being normal again? I read an article about how COVID-19 is disrupting even the disruptors in our world today. And it described how Airbnb disrupted the hospitality industry and changed the face of how people made arrangements for their lodging accommodations when they traveled. Last year, the company was worth an estimated $30 billion, and it planned to go public in 2020. Then the pandemic hit, and it's disrupting Airbnb. Travel is suspended. Everyone is sheltering in place, and there has been a complete collapse in bookings. Individuals who were hosts who had become dependent upon the income-generating properties that they were renting out are now being bled dry because of the pandemic and the lack of business. And already suspicious neighbors are up in arms over the potential of short-term renters spreading the virus. Many of you are dealing with the disruption of the pandemic in education. And either you have had to learn how to teach online, or at home you've learned to become very proficient at helping your kids with homeschooling via technology. Others of you are in the medical field, and you know firsthand just how disruptive the COVID-19 pandemic has been. Hospitals are overwhelmed. Surgical masks are in short supply. Regular doctor's office appointments have been pushed back, and physicians are doing more telehealth virtual visits than ever before in their practice. COVID-19 is also wreaking havoc on milestone celebrations like graduations, baptisms, and weddings. I talked to one person who is about to graduate from seminary this spring, and she said that her dean is going to do a virtual conferring of degrees, and that they will walk and be hooded later on this year. And I know firsthand how COVID-19 can impact plans for a celebration. Have you ever tried to plan a wedding in the middle of a pandemic? It's not easy. And Cindy and I now have a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. Somehow, some way, we're going to get married later on this year. What does the celebration of Easter have to say to all of us in this time of pandemic? Does the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ provide encouragement and offer hope to us in a time like this? It most certainly does. And I want us to remember that while restaurants and schools and businesses are empty, so was the tomb of Jesus. And that makes all the difference in the world whenever we experience a crisis in our life. I want us to take a look at the story of two people who were dealing with their own disruption, with their own disappointment over the recent events in their life, and discover how the good news of Easter can speak to our particular situation here today. The passage of Scripture is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And it's the passage on the road about the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Luke 24, beginning in verse 13, reads, "Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, 'What are you discussing together as you walk along?' They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know about the things that have happened there in these days?' 'What things?' he asked. 'About Jesus of Nazareth,' they replied. 'He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us, and they went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not find Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them all that was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is already late, and the day is almost over." And so he went in and stayed with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Then they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Then they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. May God bless us this reading and hearing of his word, and to his name be the praise and the glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Dear Father, on this Easter Sunday, as we come to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, but as we also come to gather some comfort and encouragement in the midst of this very difficult time we're living in, we pray that the message of Easter and the story of these two disciples might speak to each of our hearts and each of our life situations. We pray, Lord, for the power of your Spirit to extend to wherever anyone is in the reach of my voice through technology, that you would have something specific to say to them to bring a source of hope. And we'll thank you for that in the name of Christ. Amen. In Luke 24, we find two disciples who experienced a great disruption in their lives that resulted in a great disappointment. And the text indicates just how devastated they really were by the events of the previous week. It is obvious that these two individuals were reeling from the death of Jesus. And the passage says that Cleopas and his companion, perhaps even his wife, stood there looking sad. You can hear the despair in their words, in the frustration when they speak. "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know about the things that have happened there in recent days? We had hoped that Jesus was going to be the one who was going to redeem Israel." Here we have an example of two people who are struggling with the impact of a disruption. They're disillusioned, they're disoriented, their future looks bleak. They feel like the forces of evil have won. It is in times like these that a spiritual perplexity comes over us, and we find ourselves sad and maybe even depressed. Have you ever felt like that? Maybe you feel like that right now. All of us know times of disappointment and the feeling of abandonment, just like these disciples. We wonder, "Where are you, God?" This pandemic has prompted all kinds of questions for each of us. Why did this happen? How long is it going to last? What's going to happen in the future? How am I going to provide for my family? The answer to these questions is, we really don't know. And like these disciples, it's very easy to become discouraged in a crisis. Last week, David Brooks wrote a column in the New York Times, in which he talked about mental health in the age of the coronavirus. And he invited his readers to write to him and to share how they were doing in this time. 5,000 people wrote in, 5,000. And they told of the struggle that they were having with all of the isolation, with the sheltering in place. Brooks wrote about how he himself is also struggling. And he was honest and said, "There's an invisible current of dread running through the world. It messes with your attention span," he said. He also said, "I don't know about you, but I'm mentally exhausted by 5 o'clock every afternoon. And I think part of the cause is the unconscious stress that is flowing through us." I really relate to that. Do you? It's easy to be afraid during this time. Fear is a natural reaction to a pandemic. One of my late wife Lori's favorite books that she read as a young Christian in college was Hinds Feet on High Places by Hannah Hernard. It's an allegorical story about a little goat named Much Afraid, because she lived in fear of all that she encountered along her journey from the valleys of life to the mountaintop of God's love. And one of the most valuable lessons of her arduous climb, which she learned, was to rely upon God's presence to be with her at all times. And when she finally reached the peaks, her name was changed to Grace and Glory. Are you like Much Afraid? Fearful of what is happening? Fearful of what's going to happen in the future? How does God want you to learn to trust in Him and His presence during this crisis? Well, the passage continues. It says, "Jesus said to them, 'How foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." What we see here is the way in which Jesus analyzed the problem for these two believers. And he pointed out that their sadness of heart was a result of a failure to believe and to trust. And Jesus pointed out that this was caused by two things. The first one was that they had allowed the circumstances of life to control them. These disciples had allowed the events of the preceding week to shatter their faith and to destroy their hope in the Lord. Even after the report of some of the disciples, they remained defeated and doubted the truth of what was told them. And they weren't able to rise above their circumstances and trust in God. In his column in the Times, David Brooks said that during this time of isolation, many people are alone, very alone. And all they're doing is watching media all day long. Others are trapped in homes of dysfunction, and in France alone, it is reported that cases of domestic violence are up about a third. Alcohol and drug use is also on the rise. One researcher found that for every 1 percentage point increase in unemployment, it eventually leads to a 3.5% increase in opioid addiction. And so the pandemic's economic effects alone will exacerbate the drug and mental health problems in this country down the road. Psychological and spiritual health in times of crisis is like a wrestling match. The situation throws stressors at you. And the question is whether or not your coping mechanisms are strong enough to deal with them and even overcome them. But people who put their trust in Christ have a spiritual resource that is available to us, and it can help. We can become like Noah's Ark in times of trouble. When the water of trouble surrounded the vessel, the ark rose and floated above the destruction below. We can also be like Peter, who walked on water as he kept his eyes fixed upon Jesus, and he wasn't taken over by the wind and the waves. As long as he focused on Christ, he could rise above the situation. Friends, it is possible in the Christian life to have the ability to rise above your circumstances. We can have hope, even in the midst of trouble, because we know that all is not as it appears. God is sovereign, and He's at work both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Do you believe that? Do you trust it? If you're in a tough spot right now, perhaps you can make Psalm 71 your prayer. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock and refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. These are verses, that's scripture, that are worth reading every single day during this pandemic. The second reason for the despair of these two disciples was a failure to know and apply the scriptures to their lives. Jesus said, "How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken," and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. If you look at that verse, notice how many times the word "all" appears right there. Three times. Jesus spoke the whole counsel of God. The best way to combat spiritual depression is to study the Bible and apply the truths of Scripture to your own life. Remember the promises of God. Trust in what the Lord has shown you to be true while you are walking in the light. It can guide you in the times when you're having to go through the dark. Isn't that what Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew 4 and experienced his own disruption? To the three temptations that Satan gave to him, Jesus responded, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And when Satan quoted scripture as a part of the second temptation, Jesus replied, "Yes, but it is also written." He knew the whole counsel of God. A failure to know scripture and to apply what it says to your own life is a chief cause of despair when we're in the middle of a crisis like a pandemic. You and I need to spend time in the Bible on a regular basis if we're going to be able to cope with this pandemic. And I would encourage you to make time every single day to read Scripture and to meditate on its truth in the middle of this season. Ask God to speak to you, and He will. Well, sometimes we have no idea how near Jesus is to us, especially in our darkest moments. Cleopas and his companion were in despair. All their hopes had been dashed, and now the whole world seemed to be spinning out of control after the crucifixion. And every one of the disciples had scattered in fear. No one seemed to know what was going on. There was no one to lead and no one to follow. But Jesus was nearer than they realized. And he walked up from behind them and engaged them in conversation. Jesus got them to talk about their lives, their disappointment, and all of this made them receptive to what he had to say. And then Jesus explained the scriptures to them. He took them over Moses and the prophets and everything in the Psalms and showed them that the Christ was supposed to die and then be raised to glory. This was God's plan. What had taken place in Jerusalem wasn't an accident. Jesus wasn't the victim of circumstance. No. The God of history was at work in all that happened, and it was foretold in the prophecies of the Old Testament many years before. Finally, Jesus revealed his presence to them with the breaking of the bread. And perhaps it brought a flashback in their minds to the Last Supper when Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." It's interesting in this story Jesus didn't force himself on these disciples. Rather, he waited for their invitation. Their receptivity allowed Christ to do a mighty work that day. And the text says, their eyes were opened. Have you experienced the nearness of God during this pandemic? I know I have. And I don't think I would be able to cope with this disruption in the world if it wasn't for the stabilizing influence of God's Holy Spirit in my life. I found that it is often in the times of greatest pain and struggle that I have experienced the nearness of God the most. It's when I'm at my rope's end that I discover that Jesus is right there. And he's right with me. Author Ann Snyder reminds us that there is a motif in Scripture that most people tend to ignore because it makes them feel uncomfortable. But it is a motif that is repeated throughout the Bible, and it is central to its teaching. The principle is this: pain, hardship, and even death is a harbinger of new life. One sees this pattern over and over and over again in Scripture, but we see it most clearly at Easter. It was the death of Jesus Christ that was the prelude to the resurrection and his victory over sin and death. And in the Bible, we read story after story which say that when the times were the hardest, when the night was the darkest, that's when God came near and began to do something new. He brought salvation, and he came to the rescue. I believe he's doing it again. I don't have a crystal ball, and I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But I've been noticing a few things that lead me to believe that God is up to something in this pandemic, and that good lies on the other side of a world that is being remade. Throughout the history of the world, in spite of their devastation, plagues have been occasions when God has cracked open the hearts of people to help them see their need for him and just how hopeless they are without the Lord. Historically, pandemics have been times when authoritarian leaders have been subverted, and the crises have created new opportunities for peace and justice to come into the world. It levels the playing field. Everyone is in the same predicament. And also throughout history, the church has shined like a beacon of light whenever there was a catastrophe. In his column, David Brooks pointed to the positives of the pandemic, and he said that the national identity is being remade in real time. What had once seemed a bitter and divided society now seems to be more like a nation of people finding creative ways to show up for one another. And that's a very good thing, friends. Recently, a friend shared with me an image of Claude Monet's painting, Impression Sunrise. It was painted in 1872 in France, and many scholars believe it launched the whole Impressionist movement in art in the 19th century. If you look at the painting, you'll notice that the sky is filled with the fog of uncertainty about what lies ahead. The water is a little choppy. The horizon is gloomy. And notice the man in his little boat striking out over the water alone, isolated, not sure where he is headed. That feels like the time we're living in right now, doesn't it? The fog of uncertainty hangs like a cloud around us. Nothing appears certain. How much more suffering is there going to be? How many more people are going to die? Will it strike my home and the people I love? What is going to happen with the economy? When will life return to normal? But look again at the painting. Do you see the sun peeking through the horizon? It promises that the sunrise is on the way. 2,700 years ago, the prophet Hosea urged the people of his day, "Let us strive to know the Lord, whose coming is as sure as the sunrise. He will come to us like the rain, like spring rains that water the earth." It could be that God wants to use the disruption of COVID-19 to get your attention and to invite you into a deeper relationship with Him. God is nearer than you realize, just as He was for these two disciples. And He wants to help you during this time when you feel so disoriented and unable to gain your footing, just like He wanted to do with these two disciples. And Christ will see you through this crisis. And the good news of Easter is just what we need in this time of despair. Friends, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Would you pray with me? Great Father in heaven, we're grateful for this comforting story in Scripture about how you can come alongside people in times of despair and uniquely transform their life and the whole world. Lord, we need you right now. The days we're in are difficult, and they may become even more difficult ahead. But we trust that you are at work both to will and to do according to your good pleasure, and that you're up to something special, and that there will be a world remade as we seek to grow in grace. We yield our lives to you and ask that you would visit us on this Easter Sunday by the power of your Holy Spirit. In the strong and saving name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.